blessings in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord for that beautiful singing. I want to thank you all for being here. It's a great privilege to open the Word of God and see what He has for us. Those songs were so beautiful. Different lines were standing out to me. Unresting, unhasting, and silent as light, nor wanting, nor wasting, Thou rulest in might. And the next line says, we blossom and flourish as leaves on the tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee. Praise the Lord. Nothing can change God. He's steadfast forevermore. And one of the other songs, we rest on thee, it says, we go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more of each day thy grace to know. Isn't that true, brothers? Teach me thy way, O Lord. When doubts and fears arise, teach me thy way. When storms o'erspread the skies, teach me thy way. Shine through the cloud and rain, through sorrow, toil, and pain, make thy pathway plain, teach me thy way. Praise the Lord. Why don't we kneel for prayer? Yes, Lord, this morning we just are so privileged to be called your children. We're so privileged that we can bow our knees while we're yet here on this side of eternity. We're so grateful that you've called us out of darkness into your marvelous light. Thank you, Lord, for the body of believers here at Faith and the many other congregations across the face of the world where people are calling upon the name of God, the name of the Lord. Or we think again of our brothers, sisters that are captive in Haiti right now. We just ask that you would strengthen them. Just pray that your name could be glorified through this situation, Lord. We think of each one of us and our own situations that we're facing. Help us, Lord, that we could turn to you and not try to do it in our own strength. Help us, Lord, that we could see where our help comes from. It doesn't come from the hills. It doesn't come from brute strength. It comes from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. God, we just pray you'd strengthen each one. Pray for the ones that are listening on the phone or that can't be here today, that they'd be encouraged in the Lord. Pray that all of us could be edified and blessed by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You can open your Bibles to James chapter 1. Again, reading in verse 12, it says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. We're going to take some time and look at, try to break this down and see what God would have for us. We're going to, by God's help here, look at about five different points, and we'll look at temptation. What is it? We just take a look at, really, what is temptation? Number two, where does temptation come from? Number three, is it sin to be tempted? Number four, what shall I do when I'm tempted? And number five, overcoming temptation. So I'm excited about this subject. And before we get more into that, I want to consider a few laws of nature Let's consider the law of gravity. How would our world be without the law of gravity? It would definitely be a lot different. And many of the ways people operate would have to be completely changed. How about the law of centrifugal force? That would make a big difference. How about the law of nature called momentum? Now I want to look at a few spiritual laws. The spiritual law that being carnally minded brings death. You can't get around that one. What about the law that if you're spiritually minded, it brings life and peace? That's also a law, spiritual law. The wages of sin equals death. Obedience to God equals life. I have a little story to tell you about this lion trainer. This is pertaining to my subject. There was once this lion trainer that trained his lion to open his mouth and he could stick his head inside. And he told the cage keeper to watch out that if the lion starts swishing his tail, that he quick gets his head out because the lion's just ready to get him. And so he did that for some time. And the crowd just thought this was something else. Then one day, this lion's old nature came out and chomped on the guy's head, and that was it. So, talking about temptation, it's something you can't play around with. As we heard there in James, because if you yield to it, it's going to take you where you don't want to go. I have a few questions here to do with some of the laws we looked at. This is to do with the law of gravity. Question, if a man jumps off the edge of a cliff, is there any chance he might float in midair? Any answer to that? No chance at all. How about if someone cuts a tree down, is there any way that tree can continue standing? Nope. That law of nature is going to take over. How about if you drive down the road 60 miles an hour and you come to a 90-degree curve rated at 25 miles an hour? What will happen? You're going to fly off the curve. And you can try to think in your mind and figure up a way to not make that happen, but it's going to happen. It's a law of nature. How about when your sisters are washing clothes, have you ever seen the clothes hang to the center of the washer? It always goes out. Law of centrifugal force. You can try as hard as you want to make those clothes go to the center, and they're always going to go out. How about when you children are on a merry-go-round? Which way do you try? Does it make you try to fly out? Anyone have an answer? When you're on a merry-go-round, spinning real fast, does the force make you go inward or outward? Outward. Yeah, you feel like flying off. That's the law of nature. How about those of you who drive truck, if you got 80,000 pounds going 60 miles an hour, and you come across the knoll of a hill, and 200 foot ahead is a tree across the road. So anyway, you can get that thing stopped that quick. Hardly. That's the law of momentum. It's a natural law that we can't escape. How about if you're driving a nail into wood and your hammer misses the nail head and the next thing in line is a different kind of a nail and the law of momentum takes over and ouch, you get hurt. Now, let's look at applying this to the spiritual. Is there any way someone can have a carnal mind, live after the flesh, and still have life and peace? No. Spiritual law. Is there any chance a person might still be able to get to heaven while living in sin? It can't happen. Spiritual law. What fruit can you expect from a person that is spiritually minded? Well, if you're spiritually minded, there's going to be the fruit of the Spirit coming out. How about, what is a more valuable payment to receive, life or death? Which one is more valuable to you? I choose life. How about, if someone obeys God and loves Him and walks with Him, what can he look forward to? He can look forward to eternity with Jesus. What a motivation. Okay, let's look at our first point here. Temptation, what is it? In the scripture here, the word temptation has about two different meanings. Back in Genesis, it talks about God tempting Abraham. That word tempt is a different connotation than when it talks about yielding to temptation or being drawn away with a temptation. That would more have the meaning of being tested, that God tested Abraham. Let me read here. It says, the primary meaning is enticements to evil proceeding from the prospect of pleasure or advantage. The act of tempting, enticing to evil by arguments, by flattery, or by the offer of some real or apparent good. So to be tempted itself is not the sin itself. It's simply the enticement. It's the thing that looks so good that causes people to start thinking, you know. That's the temptation. Verse 12 talks about enduring temptation. The enduring is to bear up under the strain and pressure without breaking or yielding. So God pronounces a blessing upon those who are willing to endure under the trials, the temptations, the things they face without yielding to it. That's the blessing. When you can be faced with all kinds of temptations and you are strong in the Lord. That's the blessing. Bearing or suffering and continuing under pain or distress without resistance or without sinking or yielding to the pressure. Like three Hebrew children. Just imagine the pressure they felt standing in the group of thousands of others, and they all bow down and they stand firm. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for he shall receive a crown of life. Temptation, in this sense of the word, or what we are looking at today, is something that looks so good, and yet it's forbidden. Enticement, a desire, a drawing towards something that's wrong because you think it might be fun to try it. That's temptation. It's not saying that you did the thing. It's saying that drawing you feel, that enticement that is pulling on you, that's the temptation. Temptation is when something forbidden or wrong has enough prospects and advantages in your mind that it looks worth doing. That's the temptation. You haven't crossed over into the sin yet, but it's that allurement, that pull you feel in your mind towards something wrong. That's temptation. We're talking about how we can discern what a temptation is. Now, I've heard some people speak about going past the fridge and being tempted to eat some food. Well, let me ask you a question. Is the food in that fridge forbidden to you? Hardly. I think the food in your fridge, you're allowed to eat. And so that's not a real temptation. You might feel a desire or a drawing or whatever you call it to eat that food, but that's not a temptation, really, in the scriptural sense of the word. A temptation would be if there's a cookie jar and mom says to the children, do not get cookies. Then they go past, lift the lid, smell it. Oh, that feels smells real good. Oh, I just wish I could have that cookie. And that's temptation, when something is forbidden, but you feel that drawing to do it. Something has to be evil or wrong or forbidden before we can call it temptation. Maybe one of you youth like to read books, and your parents instructed you not to read a certain book, but yet you feel this drawing to read it. That's a temptation. I remember when I was 14, I was reading some Lewis B. Miller books, and my parents didn't feel they wanted me to continue. And I just remember feeling this tug or this draw. Oh, I wish I could read that book. You know, adventure story, sort of a made-up, fabricated story, whatever you call it. But anyway, my parents didn't want me to read it. But I remember feeling that temptation to read, but yet I didn't, because I didn't want to disobey them. In Proverbs chapter 7, we have this young man that's void of understanding, and he's hanging out with the wrong crowd, and he's walking through the wrong parts of town, and he comes around this corner and is met by this lady that uses flattery. She uses appealing clothing. She uses persuasive talking, fair speech, and the prospect of love to tempt him. I'm sure he knew it was wrong. That's a temptation. When you know something's wrong, but the prospect looks so good that you're enticed by it. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. That's right. Temptation is when the advantages, prospects, and pleasures of something wrong or forbidden look so good that a person is drawn to consider. Let's look at our second point. Where does temptation come from? Where does temptation come from? Well, if you look down at verse 13, James 1, verse 13, it says, "Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man." And we already covered the aspect of Abraham. It says God did tempt Abraham. Some people could say, well, that's not lining up there, but we already took care of that one. God did not tempt Abraham with evil. He was testing him for a reason. But God did not tempt Abraham with something evil. Because it says God, in this context, God will not tempt someone with something evil. So, if God does not tempt people, then who does? Well, let's keep reading. Every man is tempted when he is drawn away of what? His own lust and enticed. You can't blame your grandfather or your father or your mother or your wife or your children or your neighbor or your preacher. It's a personal thing. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So temptation is not from God. Temptation to do evil things is not from God, or things that are wrong. But temptation is something that, according to this verse, springs out of the carnal heart of man. Springs out of that nature we're supposed to crucify. If you feel a drawing, a desire, a lust towards something wrong or sin, that feeling and sense is not from God. The word enticed has the meaning of incited, instigated to evil, seduced by promises or persuasions, persuaded or allured. So at this point, this person that we're talking about or has not yet sinned. They're simply at the point of temptation. That's what we're talking about. That's our subject. Now, as I talked before, this thing gets very close home. You can't blame anyone else. If you yield to temptation, it's your fault. You can't blame anyone for it. Every man needs to take account of his own choices. You can't blame anyone. It's your fault if you yield. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust. We have to come to grips with this. We have to see that the temptation I'm facing to consider something forbidden comes out of my own heart's carnal lust. I'm sure we've all, at one point or another, experienced that. That's why the Bible says, crucify the flesh with the affections and lusts thereof. Amen? Amen, brothers. Daily, Paul says, I die daily. Don't play the blame game like Adam and Eve. If you're tempted and end up yielding to sin, you have no one to blame but yourself. Temptation comes from the evil one. This is another place temptation comes from. In Matthew 4:3, and when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And in 1 Thessalonians 3:5, it says, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So where does temptation come from? Well, it seems from the scripture it comes from out of your own carnal heart, and it also comes from the devil. Those two places are where temptation comes from. And if you can think of any more places, I'd like to know it. Let's look at our point number three. Is it sin to be tempted? And God has given some of us very tender hearts and tender consciences, and that's a good thing. But we also need to get this straight. That is temptation sin, or is it yielding to temptation that sin? We have to get this straight so we don't come under condemnation. There's a song that says, yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you, some other to win. Fight manfully onward, dark passions subdue. Look ever to Jesus. He'll carry you through. Praise God. Amen. So there we have it. Yielding is sin. That's where the sin comes in, is when you yield to temptation. Let me ask a couple questions. Is it sin to be tempted? When Potiphar's wife tempted Joseph, did Joseph sin? No, he ran away. When Jesus was tempted by Satan in the desert three times, did Jesus sin? I mean, he had a tremendous major temptation. You know, you're hungry. Come on, make these stones into bread. I mean, you could have the whole world under your control. Just worship me. Get thee hence, Satan. So is it sin to be tempted? According to the scripture, it's according to these examples, it's not sin to be tempted. It's not sin to face temptation. It is what you do from that crucial point. When you come to the crucial point of facing the temptation, that is where you're responsible for your choices. Can you help it if a crow flies over your head? Well, you can't really help that. Birds fly through the sky. But if it tries to make a nest on your head, can you help that? Yes, you can. So if the temptation tries to build its stronghold in your life, that's your responsibility to get that thing out of here. This is a very important point to get for us to get a hold of. The stuff from the outside comes against you and hits you. You can't control that. The thoughts that float across your radar, the ideas that pop into your head, the sights, the sounds, the attractions, allurements this world has to offer, that is all outside stuff. coming at you from the outside. Jesus said that this is in the context of food, but I think we can apply it here too. That which is outside the man cannot defile him. The things that come at you from the outside. But Jesus goes on to say that which comes out of the man, evil thoughts, adulteries, all these things are the things that defile the man. Some of us, I already covered that, are extra sensitive. We need to realize that being tempted is not sin. According to the Bible, to face a temptation is not a sin. But you need to take God's word, and we'll get to that some more later, and deal with that temptation before it builds a nest. Let's look at point number four. What shall I do when I'm tempted? Let's turn over to Matthew chapter 4. Look at what Jesus did. Matthew chapter 4. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. And he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, It is written again, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Jesus saith unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What a powerful example from our Lord, what to do with temptation. Isn't that a blessing? Tremendous example. Jesus said, It is written. He used the words of Scripture to fight temptation. We're talking about, what shall I do when I'm tempted? What shall you do when a thought pops into your mind that's contrary to God's word? Knock it down with Scripture. Get it out of here. What shall you do when you have an ill thought about a brother? Just get rid of it with God's word. Here we have two powerful examples from Jesus. He quoted Scripture, and then he also rebuked the tempter. I believe we can do the same. James 4:7 says, Rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. So when the devil comes and tempts you, rebuke him in the name of Jesus. But the Bible promises he will flee from you. What shall I do when I'm tempted? Quote Scripture. Use the words of Scripture to cut down that temptation. The word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword, and it pierces to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit. So when that temptation comes floating along and looks sort of good and tempted to let it in your mind, just pierce that thing with God's word and rebuke the devil. Another way is flee from temptation. We have in 1 Corinthians 6:18 says, Flee fornication. 1 Corinthians 10:14 says, Flee from idolatry. 1 Timothy 6:11, Flee from the love of money. 2 Timothy 2:22, Flee youthful lusts. This is another powerful way when temptation comes floating along is flee. Just get out of there. If you're in a place in the store that's tempting you, get out of there. Just remove yourself from it. Another way is abstain. Acts 15:20, it talks about abstaining from pollutions of idols. 1 Thessalonians 5:22, abstain from all appearance of evil. when there's a temptation and that's facing you, Bible talks about abstaining. Just stay away from it. Stand clear. 2 Peter 2:11 says, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. So here are four powerful ways when we're tempted. Number one, quote scripture. Number two, rebuke the tempter. Rebuke the devil and he'll flee. Number three is flee from temptation. Number four, abstain from all appearance of evil. Pilgrim Progress there, there's a few points that are in there about keys to be victorious. Number one is, at the first advance of evil, turn immediately from it and cry to your Lord for help. Number two is, when I think of what I saw at the cross. When you think about how Jesus gave his all for you, and now here comes this carnal temptation floating along. I mean, there's no comparison. It's an earthly, temporal, carnal thought compared to the eternal weight and value of what Christ did for you. There's no comparison. If you think about that, it helps. Number three, when I think about the garment given me at the cross, if you think about before you were born again, before you were saved, how dirty and how stained you were with sin, and how the garment God gives you when you give your life to him is clean and pure. And when you give in to a temptation, it puts a spot on your garment. So if you think about keeping your garment pure, that will help when you're tempted. Another thing is when I read in the roll carried in my bosom. If you remember Pilgrim, he was given a roll at the cross, and he said it helps him to overcome when he reads that roll, which I think we could call, say it's the Bible. And number five, when my thoughts wax warm about the place to whither I'm going. When he thinks about heaven, it helps him overcome temptation. If we could just do that, if we could keep that in our focus, it would definitely help us. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at point number five, overcoming temptation. In this point, I want to touch a few more practical areas. There's a song we used to sing in church that says, be an overcomer. Only cowards yield when the foe they meet on the battlefield. We are blood-bought princes of the royal host and must falter not nor desert our post. The chorus says, never yield a step in the hottest fight. God will send you help from the realms of light. In Jehovah's might, put the foe to flight, and the victor's crown you shall wear at last. How many of you want to wear a crown someday? Or cast it at Jesus' feet? I think that's all of us. Let's keep that crown in view as we go through our life. We're still not home. We're still not to our place we desire to go. Let's keep in mind, as we go through this sinful world, about our home we're going to. Another thing, as we think about overcoming, one thing for sure is we can't overcome by ourselves. How many of you have ever tried to overcome by yourself? Did it work? Nope. Won't work. You can't overcome by yourself because we're just... The Bible says we're grass. We're like a leaf that falls off the tree. We don't have strength by ourselves. We have to tap into God's strength if we're going to be an overcomer. We're no match for Satan or for the temptations we'll face. There's no way. I mean, that's like another, almost like another spiritual law. We can't overcome by ourselves. We must be connected to the one that is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Amen. We must be connected to the true vine if we're going to overcome. Now let's talk about some practical ways. Maybe the temptation floats along and says, I'm so weak, there's no way I'll be able to overcome. I'm so weak, I just can't overcome. Well, what does the scripture say? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. How about quoting that to that temptation? If you're tempted to be, think you're so down and out that there's no way you can be an overcomer. Well, I can do all things through Christ. Just keep quoting that. Say it 100 times a day. And I think you'll be encouraged. I think God will help you. I believe he will. How about temptation? This situation is so bad, you'll probably die and not make it. You ever faced one of those? They'll probably get you this time. This situation is so miserable and so bad. I mean, I'm probably going to just not make it. Well, how about the scripture that says, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. It's not God's will for me to let this situation get the best of me. I'm going to live. Now, if God chooses for me to die, that's up to him. But with God's help, I'm going to trust that I'm going to live and declare God's works. Praise the Lord. Another temptation. You should open that magazine and just see what you can see. Well, the Bible says, I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. So, that little sneaky temptation comes along, that little inquisitive thing, you know, that each one of us face. Is that going to sow to the Spirit? Is that going to build your spiritual life, being inquisitive about something that's wrong? I don't think so. That's not going to build your spiritual life. So you need to cut that one down by the scripture. I will set no wicked thing before mine eye. I hate the work of them that turn aside. That's what David said in Psalm 101. How about another temptation? This situation is so terrible, I can't see why a loving God would ever allow this to happen to me. If there's such a loving God out there, why is there all this terrible thing coming upon me? If God is so loving, why does he allow my child to die? If God is so loving, why did he allow me to have this wreck? Or if God's so loving, why is he making it hard for me? Wrong focus. You got the wrong set of glasses on. Scripture says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for his mercy endureth forever. Doesn't matter how bad my situation is, his mercy endures forever. That's something to quote to that temptation. How about giving thanks always for all things? I don't talk too loud. You might face something next week. Look out. Never know what might happen, but it's worth it. It's worth it. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So if you're tempted to lose out on God, well, you're the only one losing. God's not losing. He's steadfast forever. How about if you're tempted to look at a certain person in a wrong way? Scripture says, keep thyself pure. How about another temptation? You know, you should just gossip. You should just tell some stories about people that would make people think you're really a good storyteller. Well, the scripture says, speak evil not one of another, brethren. Scripture tells us to go to your brother and tell him his fault between you and him alone. That's a good recipe to help that temptation. God help us with that. And we could keep on going for a long time. These temptations face us. Then we have the crucial point. What do we do from there? So these wonderful tools God has given us to help us overcome. Let me go over some of these things again. What shall I do when I'm tempted? Use the scripture. Use God's word to cut down those temptations. Rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. You know, this is pertinent for everyone, but I think especially for youth as they're growing up, facing different of those changes in life and temptations that face youth, to be armed with these tools. Armed with God's word hidden in your heart, armed with the readiness to flee from temptation, armed with a mindset to abstain from fleshly lusts, and also be ready to rebuke the devil. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be ashamed to use the tools that God has given you, the power of his word. I remember as a youth just hammering on some of these. I was in my low 20s. I faced some pretty bad temptations. Gotten a little sick and with some fumes, and I mean, I was facing a lot. And I remember just, stomping my foot and hammering. I did not want to give in to temptation. And I would rebuke the devil with all my might. And it worked. It helped. God gave me strength to get through. Don't be afraid to rebuke the devil, and he will flee from you. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Let's look at a conclusion out of Revelation. If you want to turn over to Revelation chapter 2, here we have some wonderful rewards for those who overcome. Promises to overcomers. Revelation 2, verse 7. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What a wonderful reward to be an overcomer. Verse 11, Revelation 2:11. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. Revelation 2:17, to him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Praise the Lord. New name. There's a song that says, I have a new name written down in glory, and it's mine. Oh, yes, it's mine. Revelation 2, verse 26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. How would you like to rule a whole nation? I'm not really concerned about that. I'm concerned about being an overcomer. Whatever God decides from there is up to him. But I want to be an overcomer. How about you? Revelation 3:5, he that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. That includes not being ashamed of his name now. Jesus said that if you're ashamed of him, he'll be ashamed of you. Let's not be ashamed to speak about Jesus. Let's ask the Lord to help us. We can't in our own strength. We need his help. Revelation 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Wow. Eternal blessings, eternal rewards. And these little temptations we face, like Paul says, they're not worthy to be compared with the glory in the future. Revelation 3:21, last verse here. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The Lord help us to be overcomers, know what to do when temptations come along. We could someday make it to our desired haven. Praise the Lord.